Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The atmospheric dynamics of our planet are changing, and with those changes come an impact on the long-term characteristics of our climate and the near-term change in our weather. The trends bring both a responsibility and an opportunity. Climate and extreme weather were the themes of a recent South Dakota Focus, and Larry Rohr has this summary.
A trio of climate and weather scientists gathered to talk about extreme weather. While we haven't seen a tornado outbreak in a while like that of 2003, South Dakota has been getting more frequent heavy rain. Laura Edwards, climatologist with the SDSU Extension Service, has been tracking weather milestones.
One number that we look at are the billion-dollar disasters that NOAA issues every year, the list of disasters. And we see that increasing over the last few decades. But we also see, I don't know if it's all negative, but just changes in agriculture, in wildlife and recreation and tourism all around the world, and natural ecosystems too, and how people respond to all of these changes. And so I don't know if there's a single weather event or climate event that I put a finger on, but it's affecting a lot of people in a lot of different ways, both positive and negative.
While her work is a combination of long-range climate trends as well as seasonal impact, Todd Heidkamp, meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service in Sioux Falls, is monitoring changes in day-to-day weather.
Well, you know, I don't think there's been any weather events that we haven't seen before. But one thing that we have noticed with some of these events is that we've been kind of dealing with more extreme events. And I think the most recent cases probably would be, you know, our heavy rain events that we've had this past summer or even the past 2 or 3 years. Honestly, when an area would get 6-7 inches of rain, now that's almost becoming common issues, common events. Again, I think over... You know, there's really no weather event that we have never experienced before, but our extremes that we before called it extreme are occurring more often than ever before.
We can all see that impact in our weekly weather forecast. Meanwhile, Bill Capehart, the director of atmospheric science at South Dakota School of Mines and Technologies, studies our weather from a long-range climate perspective.
Disasters are where weather breaks your stuff, and our stuff is calibrated for previous climates. We have building standards, we have floodplains that have been designed and laid out for us. And as the climate begins to drift, the events that we expect not to happen on a regular basis are going to happen more frequently. The other thing that happens at the more frequent day-to-day type levels or even just monthly levels, you start getting more and more nuisance events. So you start getting more hail events which start bearing down on your local infrastructure, for example. And they've been able to show in some studies that the smaller events that occur more frequently and nickel and dime you to death and can actually create as much cost on the overall system as one or two headline-making events.
200-plus years of data show an historical trend in climate change and a changing trend in the nature and the frequency of local weather. Heidkamp says that information has been creating more reliable long-range climate modeling.
The data that we are using now is more comprehensive than ever before. It's getting better and more accurate. And all that data is being fed into even better what we call climate models, computer-generated forecasts telling us what the weather forecast or what the climate will be 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. So those models are getting better and better due to the fact, number one, computing power, but number two, the data is so good and it's getting better all the time, and the coverage of that data is increasing on a daily basis as well.
What long-range climate forecasts cannot predict is what the local weather conditions will be beyond just a few days ahead. But Edwards says it can signal an opportunity, particularly for the agriculture community.
You know, the changes we're seeing here, I think, are really important and significant here in South Dakota, too. And I think they're not all negative. We have a lot of opportunity to take advantage of the additional moisture, the longer growing seasons, warmer temperatures that we're seeing here in South Dakota. And sure, there are some challenges that come with that. But I think as far as our economy goes, especially the agricultural economy, there's a lot of opportunity here in South Dakota. Right now in eastern South Dakota, we're about 20% wetter than we were even just 50 years ago. That's 4 to 6 inches of moisture more that we can use during the growing season. We also have longer growing seasons, a longer frost-free season, which enables us to grow the higher yielding corn varieties, for example.
And from a global perspective, Capehart says long-term drought potential is increasing.
When you increase the amount of sea surface temperature, when you increase the amount of water holding capacity in the atmosphere, you make these events worse. You have scenarios where you have a higher demand on water just simply through evaporation. Even if you keep the precipitation constant, if you're breaking even with the rainfall, you still have a greater loss in demand with respect to the water. So droughts become more prevalent. So once again, what you have is a situation where the dice are being loaded very slowly, year by year, with a higher probability of these types of events.
All three guests are studying short and long-term changes in weather, climate, and the impact they have on our infrastructure.
I've been working with engineers on how we adapt our infrastructure for climate change. And how do the forcings that are going to come from climate, how is that going to change education infrastructure when you're dealing with schools and planning and things like that? Roads, highways, our harbors, for example. That's really one of the big challenges that we've been working on.
Well, from me, from the National Weather Service side of it, you know, we're dealing with short term in that. But I would also say public education and preparedness, working with our partners across the state and the federal level, mitigating those areas like what we did in 1972 with the Rapid City flood, moving people out of harm's way after that, and not allowing that disaster to happen again.
Yeah, and I work mostly with agriculture, and I think we have a lot of those tools now and expertise to take advantage of the opportunities that a changing climate is giving us, but also being more prepared for when those disasters do occur. And drought is one of the biggest ones that we deal with. We have a lot of opportunity here with some challenges, but a lot more opportunity in this state.
One certainty is it's been a long winter and there's significant local snowpack. Edwards and Heidkamp comment on the prospects of local flooding.
Well, the southeastern part of the state is entirely saturated from last year. You know, they still have standing water in the fields and ditches that's frozen in place. And there's nowhere really for that water to go. So I think without a doubt, we're going to see some flooding in the southeastern part of the state.
If we have a gradual melt, that's exactly what the doctor ordered, because that will help things run off in a nice orderly fashion. But we're still going to be dealing with some agricultural flooding that is always known to flood.
Yeah, and as far as the Missouri River goes, the main stem Missouri River, snowpack way up in the Rocky Mountains is below average for this time of year. So that's good news for us down here on the plains that have a lot of moisture out there in the snowpack.
As much as we're all looking forward to warmer weather, a gradual melt and moderate amounts of additional moisture will temper potential flooding along the James and Big Sioux Rivers this spring. For In the Moment, I'm Larry Rohr.
And you can watch the entire program at sdpb.org/sdfocus. Tune in tonight when host Stephanie Rissler interviews South Dakota Attorney General Jason Roundsburg. That's South Dakota Focus at 8 Central, 7 Mountain.